sweat the technique.
Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Another classic, Brian L. on the quarterback rankings. Who had him the lowest, Brian?
You and I both did, actually.
There you go. I had him the lowest.
Yeah, Joel's the highest.
Yep. Classic L.
Yeah, I'll take the L on that. Welcome back, Jeremy. So glad to have you here.
It's that time of year again where we want to thank our loyal listeners at our 2024 Listener Appreciation Party. Join the team of ESPN 97.5, 92.5 for an evening of food, drinks, and fun at the home of Gallo Media. Besides new t-shirts for everyone that attends, there'll be great food from Philly Flats, BB's Tex Orleans, J-Bar M, Lane's Chicken Fingers, and the Haha Guys. Space City Vodka and Tejas Beer will be supplying the drinks, and you'll have a chance to win a special prize in the raffle from Republic Boot Company. Limited amount of guaranteed admission tickets are available for purchase and includes food and drink. Must be 21 and up to attend. Head to ESPN975.com under the promotions tab to secure your tickets now. We're giving away a couple tickets later in the show as well, so you want to make sure that you're sticking around. We're going to give away a couple of those tickets at some point. Not going to tell you when, of course. Speaking of quarterbacks, my hang-up, those texters saying I'm taking Cleveland on that bet, and then the Texans, are not scoring 31 points on the Bears defense. Bad week for Lee this week. Laughing emoji. He's going for three straight winning weeks, texter. I have a hard time seeing the Bears scoring against the Texans defense, really. I think it's going to be like a 24-17 game.
Yeah, I, as much as you know, growing up in my whole life, I've despised the Bears. I'll give credit where credit's due, and their defense is very, very good. It looks like it's gotten much better. And you have to respect them. I think you're right. On the big key is the offensive side of the football, where I think that as Caleb kind of gets his growing pains out of the way and gets acclimated to the league, this is a tough matchup for that offense because they are going to have to score points. And we saw, with especially if the running game is anywhere near it was in week one, that you know there's so many options and so many ways the Texans can beat you that you got to put points on the board. I'm not sure Caleb Williams is there yet.
Yeah, I don't have to respect a dang thing about him. I'm not going to respect him. Texans are going to beat him. My hang-up on every NFC contender is quarterback. Like, you look at every NFC contending team to, like, represent the NFC in the Super Bowl, I think that they all have pretty serious questions at quarterback. And if you go just, like, who you think the top quarterbacks are, Pat Mahomes, AFC, Lamar Jackson, AFC, Josh Allen, I wouldn't say that, AFC. If you want to throw Joe Burrow in the mix because you think that he's going to overcome this little limp wrist thing that he's got going on, AFC. If you want to throw C.J. Stroud in the mix up there, AFC. The top contenders in the NFC, I think, all have quarterback issues. Questions. Philadelphia, I'm not sure exactly who Jalen Hurts is. Jalen Hurts 2 years ago, whenever he had Shane Steichen, was fantastic. Last year with Brian Johnson, who I'm not a huge fan of, was not very good. So what does he look like with Kellen Moore? 1 week he looked good, but is he going to look like that the entire year? I would say Philadelphia has the chance to have the best quarterback situation in the NFC should it work out with Kellen Moore. That's why I don't think you can rule out Dallas. Like, Dak Prescott's one of the better quarterbacks in the NFC.
Yeah, but the problem you got it there is Dak's different in the playoffs. He's got the Lamar True. The Lamar knock even more so because he doesn't have the MVPs, but he's been in the running and he puts up just outrageous regular season numbers, and then he craps the bed in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And so that's your biggest concern there. Because, you know, look, I believe, and I was the guy that was very critical of Jalen Hurts, and I admit that. But what you saw the year that they went to the Super Bowl was a guy that threw it really, really well, that managed the offense really well, and they've got all the weapons in the world. They just got better with Saquon Barkley. I think he's fully capable, but you're right. It's going to be we've heard about the disagreements with Sirianni, and now you've got a different offensive coordinator in Kellen Moore. The continuity is going to be the key on the play calls and the right play calls for him. So that will be one to watch because I do think he is the best quarterback in the NFC.
Then you like Goff. Goff, I think, is a little underrated. I think Goff's pretty good. But even saying that, Goff's one that you're like, okay, can he carry a team to a Super Bowl? I know he went to a Super Bowl. They didn't play well in that Super Bowl. And they traded him after they went to that Super Bowl. I don't think anybody in the NFC South is really a contender. Are the Rams a contender? Eh. Is Stafford at this point of his career someone that you're counting on every single game? Eh. San Francisco, I think Purdy's a bit underrated, but it's Brock Purdy. Like, it's Brock Purdy. Like, Brock Purdy does not scream, that guy's a Super Bowl-winning quarterback. I know he was close last year, but that's more because of the team that's around him. So, like, you look at every single one of these NFC East contenders, and they have questions all over the place at quarterback.
See, I don't disagree with the fact that I've always thought that Brock Purdy's a game manager. I just think he's one of the best game managers that we have in this game.
I think
game
it's because of who he plays
and maybe for
with,
quite
though.
A while. But there's nothing wrong with that. The fact that he got to a Super Bowl because he doesn't make the mistakes. He's not going to throw up all over himself. He makes the reads and the plays he's supposed to make. He does have that it factor that even when there's pressure on him, he can do the things to orchestrate drives.
Brock Purdy has the it factor?
In terms of when the game's on the line, he's not going to do that. We saw Jordan Love do it last year. We see guys, Lamar does it a lot. When the game's on the line or it's a critical situation, it just seems like they can't get the play done in the playoffs. Dak did it too. From Purdy's perspective and to what you're saying, he'll find a way to get it to Kittle and Christian McCaffrey and get it to his weapons. But he makes those plays when he has to make those plays. I think he's more than a little underrated. It's going to be interesting to see how they think of him and the contract that they try and work out with him. But I think that he's a guy that, as much as I had doubts, he continues to prove me wrong that the fact that he's doing way more than just game managing in a lot of situations.
If you put Goff in San Francisco and Purdy in Detroit, how differently do those teams look?
I think that Detroit's got a lot of weapons. They got a really good offensive line, too. I think he's fully capable of orchestrating an offense in Detroit. I hear where you're coming from. In the fact,
like, do you think that makes San Francisco better?
Yeah, I do.
I do, too.
How much better? That's up for discussion. But, yeah, no, look, I think that from the experience, and I think Goff has grown a lot, but I can't say that I don't think that Goff, it would make the Niners better.
Yeah, I think Goff is better than Brock. I think they're kind of close. I think Dak, the playoff issue is something that comes up, but I think Dak could be the best quarterback in the NFC, and then Jalen Hurts absolutely could be. But Jalen Hurts has to put last season to rest, and I'm willing to look at the fact that it was an offensive coordinator issue. I firmly believe that. So Kellen Moore, who has led and has coordinated a number one offense in the NFL before, did it whenever he was with Dallas. If he can get Jalen Hurts to be the best Jalen Hurts, I think Philadelphia's the favorite in the NFC.
And we saw the talent on Monday night that the Niners have. If Brock Purdy's just Brock Purdy, there is so much stinking talent on both sides of the football that I think that they're the most talented team in the NFC.
Sure.
But from a quarterback position, I think that if you're talking about the guy that has the most overall ability and the chance with the weapons around him to do the most, I think Jalen Hurts is that guy from a quarterback position.
6'7", 6'1", Brock Purdy, hate is crazy. The drop touchdown pass in week one ain't his fault. I'm not going to just week one, though. I mean, I think Purdy's top 10 quarterback. I think I had him in my top 10 list. I think he's the most underrated quarterback in the NFL. But I don't look at Brock Purdy, I'm like, that's a guy that's going to put his team on the back and just carry a team to a Super Bowl. Like, There's not many of them. Like, Mahomes is one of those guys. I think Lamar and Allen are capable, but they're way too reckless with the ball. I think C.J. Stroud's that guy. I think Joe Burrow can be that guy. In the NFC, it might only be Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, no, and again, because of the miscues that we've seen out of what happened with Hurts a year ago, what Dak has not been able to do since he's been in the playoffs, with the fact that I think it might be Hurts and Goff would be your top two, just from flat, or Goff or Stafford. I just don't think Stafford has enough. I think his offensive line is already in shambles. You know, he lost Puka. The running game is iffy. I think
Kyron Williams pretty good.
I just think that you talk about the weapons around Purdy, the weapons around Hurts, and then you look at what Stafford doesn't have, and I think that's going to hurt him more than anything in the NFC. But I think that Goff and Hurts are right up there at the top in quarterback only. I think in terms of the teams, I think if Purdy just does what he does, I think the Niners are so good, I still think they're the best team in the NFC.
I would put the Eagles, Niners, Lions, weapons probably top tier in the NFC.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Eagles, you go A.J. Brown, Devontae, Saquon. Detroit, you got him on Raw, Jahmyr Gibbs, Sam Laporte is a stud. Mm-hmm. And then San Francisco, who knows what Christian McCaffrey's little Achilles deal. But you got Christian, you got Debo, you got A.U. Kittle still has a little bit left in the tank, too. Maybe more than a little bit left in the tank. I think those are your top three, what you have around the quarterback in the NFC.
Yeah, no, I don't think there's much of
an argument. I think they're all same tier.
Running back is a suspect. They do have CD Lamb.
I think CD is the best receiver in the NFL. Yeah, but that's it. But that's all I got. What do you mean? He led the league in receptions last year by a lot.
Justin Jefferson, I think, is the best receiver in the league. It's just that, you know, what's Sam Darnold going to do for him to be able to prove that?
Yeah, talent production. Yeah, I would agree that Jefferson, Chase are in the talent conversation. Right. But in terms of production, they don't have the quarterbacks. I mean, Chase is, like, you would think he has a quarterback with Burrow, but the limp wrist is kind of questionable. And then Chase, like, wanting money, like, I don't know how unhappy he is. And then Jefferson, you're right, has Darnold.
And he kicked himself by missing all of training camp. And, you know, no matter what
he was
working out. CD missed a lot of camp, but I think Chase took it all the way to the bitter end, and who knows how much reps he was getting, you know, and workouts and everything he was doing, but it doesn't translate the same way. I think that set them back as well. But, yeah, I think that from the standpoint of just who's delivering the football, I would trust Burrow more than Sam Darnold, but I think just talent-wise, I put Chase and Jefferson at the top of that list.
You give the AFC credit for the quarterbacks, but the teams have lots of fleas outside of KC. You have the Texans, rates high, but haven't seen CJ dominate in the playoffs. Hurts does nothing better than Dak besides running. Dak, the playoff issues are something that you have to look at. Is that overrated? Probably, but you're also not going to overlook that until he actually does it. 9117 agree Purdy's underrated. People say it's the system, but then give other quarterbacks props that play in the same system. He's in a really good fit. In terms of, like, talent, though,
You know what it is to a certain degree, Jeremy? It's the fact that he accepts his role. A lot of quarterbacks that are in this league think that they, you know, take Deshaun when he was here. He always felt like he had to do more. Don't worry about just the system and the play. You got to extend it. You got to do things to be sports center type moments. You got to show how good you can be with your athleticism or anything like that. Purdy just kind of understands his role. He accepts it, and then he executes it better than most when he has to deliver the football. And system or not, it takes a lot to be able to kind of set your ego aside and also be able to play the level of football that he's played. And if it was just 1 year, you'd say, yeah, I got to see more. I've seen enough of it to know that the contract, like I said, is going to be interesting, because if he's pushing and you think he's a top 10 quarterback, if he's pushing to get that $60 million type contract, that I don't know, unless they win it all this year, that the Niners are willing to do that.
I just don't think there's a clear cut top quarterback in the NFC. Because I think Purdy can be it one day. I think Goff could be it 1 week. I think Dak can be that 1 week. I think Jalen Hurts can be that 1 week. I think that Stafford can be that 1 week. There's probably a couple other quarterbacks. I think Jordan Love can look like that 1 week. Baker was it this past week. There's just so many quarterbacks in the NFC that I think are good, not great.
I honestly think that if I had to just pick the best quarterback in the NFC, it might be Matt Stafford. What he did Monday, or what he did this last weekend against the Lions in Detroit with a completely obliterated offensive line and still basically kept them in the lead for most of that game and found ways to move the football field and work drives. He still got plenty left in the tank. He was pretty impressive.
8341, so you want to tell me if it's a system, then Bryce Young can go to the 49ers and become a winner? No, but he would look a lot better in that system. Would Bryce Young look better in San Francisco with that system and then all the skill around him than he looks currently in Carolina? Yes. Would it be as good as Brock Purdy? No.
Not as good as Brock Purdy, but at Alabama, he had all the weapons in the world, too, and he orchestrated everything he had to do. So there's no doubt I think he would have some success in San Francisco.
3227, what do you mean when you say talent for a quarterback? Probably their just level of skill, you know.
Yeah.
Their attributes, and can they throw this ball, can they throw that ball, speed, awareness, IQ, all of that. Texas are saying Purdy's underrated with his feet, too. That is true. Purdy's a really good runner. 6805, Purdy's 100% the top quarterback in the NFC, and if it wasn't for Mahomes, we would be talking about him like the next Tom Brady.
Ooh,
not super mobile, roll. But he's accurate and doesn't throw the game away.
You slow
Brock
down.
Brock Purdy and Tom Brady in the
trash.
Same sentence?
Not even close.
Come on.
Trash.
That's crazy. What's the phrase name for the opposite of game manager? Legitimate question. Probably gunslinger.
Maybe. Well, I mean, unless you're, I mean, Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah. Would you consider Mahomes a gunslinger?
No, that's what I'm saying. I don't think gunslinger fits Patrick Mahomes. If you're at that skill set, you're elite. I mean, you know, you're one of the, if you're elite and one of the best quarterbacks, not only in the league right now, but maybe in history, I don't know that you're a gunslinger.
I think it's a little disrespectful to call him a game manager just because, like, what people think a game manager is. People think a game manager is somebody who, like, you know, they can't do anything other than because they have skill on their team, when that's the point of the position. The point of the position is to be a point guard and orchestrate series that end in touchdowns and scoring drives.
I've had this conversation before. Game manager used to be a negative. You looked at Brad Johnson.
I still think it
Dilfer,
is.
Guys like that. Game manager with a really loaded team can be a compliment when you're talking about guys like Brock Purdy.
I still think it's a negative term.
Well, I think because you're limited in terms of how high he can go with his ceiling.
It's like, oh, you don't think he's that talented. Yeah. He's just a game manager. All right, Adam Ronis, let's get all the tough fantasy questions of the week. Starting tonight, there's a big tough question to be made tonight. Let's talk to Adam Ronis on the other side and get his input, his thoughts from the expert. It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Guys, before we go to the break, we know that there's football tonight, and it starts a long weekend of lots of sports. It's the perfect time for you to have people to come over and hang out and watch games with you. What's on the menu matters. We know the sliders, the pizza, the wings, the chips and salsa, all the dips. Your favorite game day foods all go well with Stella Rosa wines. It's a semi-sweet, semi-sparkling wine. You must serve it chilled, but it is delicious. And you can absolutely enjoy it all night and all day long while you're watching multiple games because it's the perfect combination. It goes with all your foods. It's crisp and refreshing. You're not going to get the too kick too quick. You're going to be absolutely, completely comfortable the entire time. You're going to love it. Nothing sweeter than a cold glass of Stella Rosa and watching your team compete or the big game on the big TV. That's why I'm telling you, you got to check out Stella Rosa Wines. Served all over the place at your local retailers. You can find it everywhere. You should serve it cold and serve it chilled. It is delicious. There's a variety of different Stella Rosa wines that will be perfect for whatever you've got on the menu on top of football. Check them out today. Check out Stella Rosa Wines. And please, celebrate responsibly.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Let's go straight out to the HRMP guest line, being joined by Adam Ronis, Fantasy and Betting for Fantasy Life on SiriusXM, Monday through Thursday, 10 to noon. You can follow him on Twitter and on TikTok at Adam Ronis. Adam, what do Devon Achane owners do tonight?
Well, to me, it's simple. If he's active, I am going to play him. He's just too dynamic. And I understand there's always the risk for injury. But if the Dolphins are going to have enough confidence to put him out there in week two on a short week, knowing how important he is for their season success, I'm going to have to trust that. Now, we've been in these situations before. Sometimes they go out there, they excel, they dominate, put up numbers. There could be an aggravation in the first quarter, second quarter, and you leave the game. So it's up to each individual person, but I can just tell you in the leagues I have him, if he's active tonight, I am playing him.
And I'm curious because of some of the lesser thans. We saw passing way down week one from last year to this year. We saw quarterbacks putting up less than 200 yards. Who are some of the quarterbacks you're most concerned with over the long haul? We saw Watson not look good, Caleb Williams, et cetera, et cetera. Just some of the guys that might be more of a long-term than concern than just a hiccup.
Yeah, last week, obviously, it's still essentially preseason for many of these teams because no one plays in the preseason anymore. Deshaun Watson is an easy one to be concerned about because he just hasn't looked good in years, and he was mostly taken as a backup. Kirk Cousins a little bit as well. He basically took all of the snaps in shotgun, so that limited the play action. He didn't move well. There were some video of him running behind center today. Didn't look great. It might take him some time, and that's an offense that was heavily invested in for fantasy. Joe Burrow a little bit as well with no T. Higgins, but they perennially start slow. They're 1-10 the first 2 weeks under Taylor as coach. So Burrow should get better. We saw the same thing last year. But those are a couple that, at least for the early going, you might see them start pretty slowly.
Adam Ronis joining us on the HRNP guest line. Should we be worried about these elite tight ends? And what are some tight end streams in case we have a couple of guys that are hurt?
Yeah, I'm not too worried about a lot of the tight ends that were taken early in drafts. I think you'll see Dalton Kincaid get better. Trey McBride, who had a decent game. Sam LaPorta. Kyle Pitts found the end zone, so that wasn't bad. Mark Andrews, you have to remember, was coming off a car accident, and Isaiah likely outshined him. But the Chiefs defense gave a lot of attention to Mark Andrews. So I'm really not concerned. But if you're looking for a streamer, Colby Parkinson of the Rams is a good one. Puka Nacua is out, and Parkinson ran a lot of routes last week, over 80%, had 4 receptions. They do have issues on the offensive line, but Parkinson's a guy, if you're looking to stream a tight end, could be a solid option this week and maybe the next few.
Adam, J.K. Dobbins broke out in a huge way last week, 135 yards, and this week the Chargers get about as juicy as a matchup as you could get for fantasy running backs with the Carolina Panthers. Are you still rolling with Dobbins this week? And what about Gus Edwards? How are you splitting up your usage of those Chargers running backs?
look, they're not going to overwork J.K. Dobbins. He clearly looked great last week and broke off a couple big runs, did get caught from behind. But you have to roll Dobbins out there now. Now, some people might be in a 10-team league where he was their fourth or fifth running back. You might have good options up top, but this is a great spot. Their offensive line looked good. There were holes, plenty of room for him to run, and the Panthers are just a mess right now. I still worry long-term about Dobbins. Can he hold up? Coming off the history of injuries that he's had, Gus Edwards is touchdown dependent, and he still might get some goal line carries and find the end zone, but it's clear that Dobbins is the preferred option in this backfield right now.
How much of the fab budget did you see lost in Dobbins and Likely? What was the biggest that you saw?
Yeah, Likely was the guy that went for a lot. Dobbins was rostered in the leagues that I'm in. I play in a lot of deep leagues.
Any competitive league.
18 to 20 roster spots, so he was pretty much drafted across the board. But Isaiah Likely, I actually could have used him in a league where I had Jake Ferguson, and my bid was 24 out of 100, and someone went 51 out of 100. So, yeah, Likely was definitely someone people were sought after, because you have to remember, you had the question mark with Ferguson, David Njoku went down, and if you didn't get one of those top 10 tight ends, since so many of them had bad performances in week one, people just chase what they saw. And Likely put up a massive number, so he was the guy that was getting spent on quite a bit.
Adam, you look at Green Bay and the situation with Jordan Love. It's one thing to say you don't know who the wide receiver one is, and they were talking about that with all the talent they have. Now you got a guy that you don't know if can get him the football. How much are you concerned if you are an owner that has the receivers and even the tight ends in Green Bay?
Very concerned. Malik Willis, when we have seen him, has not looked good. Maybe Green Bay has more confidence in him and has seen something because they didn't go out and get anyone. But the only guy that I would start is Jaden Reed, only because he's explosive, and they also get him the ball on some end-arounds. But everyone else, I don't see how you can do it. Like you said, we had question marks with how the distribution was going to be with Jordan Love, who we consider a top-10 quarterback. Now you go to Malik Willis, this is going to be a problem. So the only guy that I would consider starting is Jaden Reed.
Yeah, it's the tight end situation there is curious too. Musgrave was like an afterthought, not getting targeted. He was only in the field like 20% of the time too. Like what's happening there with some of the Green Bay top targets?
Yeah, they went with Tyler Kraft instead. That he was the guy. Everyone assumed it would be Musgrave, but it was Kraft. And that's the one thing that we were looking at coming into the year with Green Bay. You know, Christian Watson is such a good talent, and he did have three end zone targets in the game, but they just mixed it up. Even Jaden Reed, he played less snaps. He wasn't on the field for three wide sets. I mean, only for three wide sets. He wasn't on there for two wide sets, but yet he still had the biggest game. But that was the other question mark with him long term. If you're not on the field as much, you're relying on efficiency and touchdowns, which you did get in week one. So that's the issue. But at least the news seems pretty good on Jordan Love. He's not being placed on IR. They even made it seem like he would play this week, which I don't believe at all. But he might only miss, you know, 2 to 3 weeks, and that would be good if you have any of the Green Bay skill players.
Adam Ronis, fantasy and betting expert for the Fantasy Life Show on Sirius XM Fantasy, joining us right now. Adam, last week, Ramondre Stevenson had a huge game, got a lot of work, 25 carries for over 120 yards. Obviously, we had a lot of questions about the Patriots offense and how much they could do and provide for fantasy this season. Do you think this work and this performance from Ramondre is sustainable over the season?
It's probably not sustainable every week. A lot's going to come down to the matchups. I loved Stevenson going into the year and took him in a lot of early drafts and then backed off a little bit because I started to think, what if this Patriots offense is just abysmal? Obviously, week one, it worked out perfectly. They caught a Bengals team that wasn't ready, that doesn't start this season well. They were able to play from ahead and feed Stevenson. But still, the underlying metrics were good. He broke a ton of tackles. We know how skillful he is in the passing game. This week, they're only 3.5-point underdogs. They can probably keep it close. I do like Seattle in that game, but they can probably keep it close here. He gets another big workload. So he, to me, is a RB2 in fantasy this week in that 12 to 20 range. So if I have him, I'm going to start him. But yes, over the course of the season, if they can't stay competitive, then you have to worry about him not being able to get the touches that you want. But this week, I think they should stay competitive with Seattle. I don't see them getting blown out. And their defense is better than we thought. They did lose some key players, but we'll find out the next couple weeks because it's easy to say, well, they just ran into a Bengals team that wasn't ready and everything broke their way.
Adam, what's this dub club you got going on?
Yeah, this is where I give out some betting picks. So there's a 3-day free trial if you want to give it a try. So I give out picks and player props for MLB, NFL, and NBA. So every single day. So you can check it out. There's a link on my Twitter, at Adam Ronis. There's different packages, but you want to try it out, get a 3-day free trial. And you can see I post a lot of the results on social media. So, yeah, I don't win every night. Everyone who says they win every night is a liar. I went, full disclosure, went 1-2 last night, but the night before was 4-0. And over the long term, looking at my records of where I've been, more profit than losses, and that's the goal. And you have to understand, when you do bet, there are going to be nights. Like last week, I'll give you a perfect example. Khalil Shakir, over 42.5 receiving yards. He had 42. James Conner, over 50.5 rushing yards. He had 50. So those are going to happen. And if you do bet, you got to understand that will unfortunately be the case. But the good thing is, tomorrow is the new day.
That's right. We'll check it out, Adam. Appreciate the time. Thanks for hopping on.
Appreciate it, guys.
Adam Ronis. Make sure you check out that Dub Club. You can follow him on Twitter, TikTok, at Adam Ronis. Fantasy and betting for Fantasy Life on SiriusXM Monday through Thursday, 10 until noon. All right, let's get to Bad Take Boulevard. What are the worst takes of the week? 713-780-3776. It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. If you are looking to throw down a couple of bucks on the game tonight, the games this week, you got to do it at BetUS. That's my favorite sports book. It's my favorite casino, BetUS.com. Football, as you know, is back. So it's time to get in on all the action. I endorse one sports book, one casino. That's BetUS. If you want a game plan to win this season, then check out BetUS right now. They went large for you this season with a huge offer. They're going to give you a 125% sign-up bonus on your first three deposits. That's right, 125% bonus on your first three deposits. BetUS offers value other sports books simply do not. Gambler's insurance, crypto bonuses, casino bonuses, plus they have all the products you need. Competitive odds, parlays, live betting, odds boost, and prop betting. When you're ready to lay down your bet, give your bet an edge. Why not combine your sign-up bonus with knowledge? Get that knowledge with expert analysis, picks, and predictions on all major sports on their very own BetUS TV. Get started today, BetUS.com, or just give them a call, 1-800-MY-BETUS, BetUS, where the game begins.
ESPN 97.5. Time to welcome some new takes.
Right this way.
To Bad Take Boulevard.
If only there was something in your head to control the things you say.
It's the dumbest argument ever.
With the Killer Bees.
Can I just say that I'm an idiot for listening to you?
No, you can't say that. All right, lots of bad takes this week. What belongs on Bad Take Boulevard? 713-780-3776. Deshaun Watson's been in the news a lot lately. He's got a new, I guess, allegation that is out there. Tony Busby says he has pertinent video, too, by the way, which I wonder what that is.
I don't want to see it.
I do. Absolutely want to see the pertinent video. I don't think it's going to be, I don't think she had a camera in there. I think the pertinent video is going to be like she was like sat down and talked to a friend immediately after. That's my guess.
It's interesting because he took a shot at the NFL and said, I don't normally trust sitting down and trusting the NFL to take care of these things, but we're going to meet with them, and then we have the video as well. I don't think he's worried about the NFL ruling. I think he's worried about the other stuff.
I don't see how her talking to a friend afterwards would be part of a video, because that could still be he said, she said at that point.
Well, you get to see how distraught she was.
But even that could be performative.
Sure.
It was an apartment, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know how much you're going to have security cameras.
Exactly. So you could at least prove he was there. You're right. It might not be the act. It might just be him coming and going to prove he was there.
Yeah, but I don't know if that's. I don't know if he's denying that he was there.
That's
I would
thing.
Just see that as more pertinent than a conversation
because
with a friend afterwards.
He never denied he was there with all the other things.
Because remember, initially he was ticked off. He couldn't find where it was, and he was agitated because he couldn't find the door or whatever. I think if there's video evidence that's pertinent, it would mean that she has security cameras inside the apartment.
I doubt it.
And I don't think I just don't see that happening.
That'd be great. That'd be great if she did. Yeah, be great if she did. Let's finally come down to the truth on this. I feel like the wording of pertinent video is a little lawyery.
Oh, it's Busby-esque.
Yeah,
sure.
Like I think if he had video of the act, he would have said that. I think,
or maybe labeled it as a smoking gun.
Yeah,
yeah.
But to say pertinent video, right. I think is sensationalizing it by design.
And most lawyers are not opposed to sensationalizing anything.
Yeah, that's
their job. That's their job.
That was just my read of it. Like, let's see what that pertinent video is at some point. But Deshaun Watson, he was, you know, being questioned about, you know, losing last week and off to a bad start. Deshaun Watson, he's not fazed by it because he's been through it before.
Because it's 17 more weeks. We got 16 more opportunities. It's the NFL. Anything can happen. I started 0-4 in 2018. We won 11 straight, you know? So
yeah.
It's one game at a time. One week at a time. You get ready. Regardless if you win or you lose, you got to scratch that one to get ready for the next week. So anything can happen. Anything is possible. We got to watch this tape. You know, it wasn't a pretty day for us. And, you know, we got to own it as a whole.
That's enough, especially Sean. Me. He said, you know. No, you lost three in a row, and then you won nine straight.
Nine, yeah.
You didn't start 0-4 and win, what do you say, 11 straight?
Yeah, he said 11 straight.
No, you started 0-3 and won nine straight, my guy. Like, you misremember. But he says it with so much conviction that you just think that it's true, right? Kind of like other things that Deshaun Watson
evidently
says.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Deshaun Watson, you make the list, misremembering.
You just made the list!
0-3, and you didn't win 11 straight, you won nine straight. The Baytown Baddie said that Joe Mixon's the most talented running back to ever wear the Texans uniform.
I mean, slow your roll, pad the brakes, and are you kidding me? Do you forget about Arian Foster, and do you know that there's a long road to hoe before you get to the comparisons with Arian Foster and knocking him off that pedestal?
Yeah.
To be honest, I don't think he watched that much Arian Foster. I mean, I obviously know him a little bit. I don't think he was watching Texans week to week back then.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's my read on it. I view him as more of a Cowboys fan, but could be wrong, but that's my read on it, knowing him a little bit.
Yeah, probably.
I don't think he was dialed in for Texans 2010 to 2016.
No, he's been getting dragged on social about it.
Yeah,
he's been fighting back, saying, "Oh, it's talented, not production." Blah 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 blah. But yeah, you get you made the list there.
You just made the list.
I don't know who put the Granato thing in here. Granato,
no, that would be me again.
You're taking shots at Granato.
Yeah, I know.
Beware.
Yeah, I know.
Beware.
Walking a fine line, Mr. McDonald.
So I guess he was confusing their Sunday night games.
Yeah. So it came. Granato tried to quiz Lance on what their last Sunday night game was, and instead of giving the answer right away, it went on for a long time and got to a point where they guessed what happened in that game and got things a little bit wrong.
Do you know the last time the Texans played on Sunday Night Football?
Last time on Sunday night. I'm trying to think of they've had a Kansas City game years ago. They had a Green Bay game. They had Cowboys.
They had a Baltimore game.
Well, I thought the pick six game was a Monday night game.
Where Matt the Ox in the I think the Ox in the Ditch was a Sunday night game.
Was the last Sunday night game?
What's
was
the Monday. Ox in the Ditch?
Yeah, week 13, 2019.
Week 13, 2019, was it Colts?
Patriots.
Ugh, I bet it was a loss.
Yeah. Yeah, of course it was. Of course it was.
A few moments later.
New England, week 13.
Still
week 13. Texans won it. 28-22.
Of course they did.
Yeah.
That's what they usually do.
It was here.
What did Lance do?
Texans usually beat New England.
Yeah, usually.
Usually they beat New England and Brady.
Man.
So, John and Lance.
You just made the list!
That's you. We didn't put them on the list.
Yeah, I mean, that is absolutely
if you're
right.
Going to bring Ryan it up, I know there's no way to know. Sometimes in the John Lance world, but there's a way to know. There's a way to know.
They're just going through their schedules.
Yeah.
So when was the last time they played on Sunday Night Football?
2019 against the Patriots.
And they won. Huh. Okay. So that was 5 years ago? Wow.
Yeah.
And it was with the Ox thing?
So that was a 2010 game where they played the Ravens on Sunday Night Football. It went to overtime, and Matt Schaub threw a pick six. And that was the day where Bob McNair, after the game, talked about how all the NFL owners were calling him and telling him about how proud they were of his Texans, how they fought. And anyway, there was a comment at some point he talked about the Ox falling into the ditch, but they were pulling the Ox out, and they were right back on the right track.
I don't remember that at all.
That was John claimed it was a Sunday night game. It was a Monday night game.
I remember a lot of things that Bob McNair said.
Yeah, you could Google Ox in the card. It'll come, or Ox in the ditch. It'll come up
because you don't want to Google the.
No, not everything Bob McNair said you want to Google.
Yeah. Rodney Harrison is not a believer in one Xavier Worthy. Here he was talking about it the other day before Thursday Night Football.
Jason Garrett keeps talking about Xavier Worthy. He's a little skinny guy. Like, he doesn't scare me. I know he's fast, but he doesn't scare me.
Okay. Okay, ooh. Xavier Worthy doesn't scare Rodney Harrison. That's fine. It's fine to have that take. But Xavier Worthy, first quarter of his first career game, moments later.
This is the speedy man, Xavier Worthy, the fastest man to the end zone right away. His first touch, a Kansas City touchdown.
There you go.
Oh, man.
Is it their radio
guy? You just made the list.
Is it their radio guy that does the Kansas City?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
I like that.
Okay.
I like that because I think it's
he's saying
original and it's good.
He's saying rock and roll touchdown Texans should change.
No, I'm saying
I like the segue there.
I like the Kansas City. I didn't say that I like rock and roll.
Anyways, Rodney Harrison, you make the list.
You just made the list.
Worried about Xavier Worthy, and he scores a touchdown minutes later. Chris Collinsworth makes the list. He forgot the overtime rules.
Yeah.
Unacceptable if you're, one, broadcasting NFL football games. You got to be in sync with the overtime rules.
Yeah, you're an ex-player. You cover the league. You've got a production staff that's miles long in terms of people that can help you, too. But, yeah, that's not a good
thing. At least Tirico knew the rules.
You shouldn't be relying on the production staff, though.
No, you shouldn't. I mean, obviously, we all follow football enough to know the rules, and you should know them. But even still, you should, before Tirico has to correct you, there should have been someone in his ear.
Yeah, that was a bad look. Collinsworth makes the list, and then Colin Cowherd.
You just made the list.
Basically, lives on Bad Take Boulevard. He had a he was making his game one week one predictions, and he had this team beating this team.
Panthers and Saints.
I like the Panthers plus +4. In fact, I think they could win. You may want to bet money line.
Wrong team favored. Panthers went on to lose by 37. They got beat 47-10.
So did the money line pay off?
Yeah, they got dragged. Embarrassing.
You know what you could have won if you bet the Panthers money line? $100?
Zero.
You could have lost $100. You would have followed Coward's advice. Coward was he was talking today. I saw another one today where he was saying, the Titans, they won week one. And then his little guy was like, nah, you mean the other way, the Bears won. He's like, yeah, Titans, week one winners. And like how it affected the Vegas lines and stuff. It was like, they lost, man.
Yeah, he got called out yesterday, too, because he's so foo-foo now that he orders his gum and has it delivered.
Does he?
Yeah, with caffeine.
Yeah, it was a thing.
Is it special gum?
Yeah, I don't know. It's gum with caffeine in it.
The clip I heard didn't specify, but whoever was with him that day called him out. I was like, wait a second. Did I just hear that you order your gum online? That's the most richy rich guy thing I've ever heard. Don't you go to a convenience store?
And he didn't deny it.
I think it's fair. If it's special gum that's giving you a caffeine boost.
If it's special gum, but I don't know that it was. I didn't hear that part of the clip.
You said it was caffeine boost?
I heard him say that it has caffeine.
So this is not gum that you can buy at the C store.
You can buy it at a candy store.
You go to like a CVS or a Walgreens, they've got gum with caffeine in it.
Same way they got energy drinks.
It's probably just easier to have it delivered, though. I don't blame them for that one.
I don't know.
I think these days everything's delivered.
I mean, have you ever done groceries delivered ever?
Oh, my God. My wife does it all the time.
Then how can you blame him for ordering gum off of Amazon or whatever?
He got dragged.
I don't think it's fair.
Okay.
I don't think it's fair to drag him. If these people that are dragging him, they could never order delivery then. Delivery pizza, delivery grocery stores, DoorDash, Uber Eats. If you're going to drag a guy for ordering gum, you must never have ordered delivery ever in your life, I think.
I wouldn't equate delivery pizza to delivery gum. Like gum's
it's special gum.
Gum's like an impulse buy you pick up when you're there at the store. Like, I mean, pizza would be a planned dinner.
It's not an impulse buy for him. He wants a very specific gum that's giving him a caffeine boost.
I don't know. I don't see that as the same thing. It's apples and oranges.
What's the most obscure thing that you order?
Oh God, I'd have to think about it. On a regular basis, I don't think there is an obscure one.
I order razors off of Amazon.
Oh, you do? Yes. No, I buy
cheaper, and they're a very specific one that
my wife orders everything off Amazon.
Yeah, then you can't be blaming Colin Coward, or your wife couldn't.
I mean, protein powder to just about anything is delivered via Amazon or something else.
Yeah. Yeah, so she can't blame Colin Coward. Not that she would.
She would.
Not that she would. Worst take, says 9506, was the taco chips. It's not really a take.
It wasn't a take. It was just...
It's more of a funny thing you call
Wisconsin
something.
It's a Wisconsin
show. It's a term. Yeah, it's a Midwest thing.
Yeah. Tell us you're from Wisconsin without telling us.
7560, he wants to put Tyreek Hill on the list, demanding the cops to be fired for him screwing up.
I think both sides screwed up.
And then Keith says, the dummy texter who said Jim Crane only gives contracts to white people.
That's right.
Yeah.
You just made the list!
Yeah, that one was very well warranted.
All right, let's get to more Deshaun Watson news. I know you're clamoring for it. But is Deshaun Watson, the trade, whenever you traded Deshaun Watson to the Cleveland Browns and you got all those draft picks, you got rid of a bad guy, bad quarterback. Is the Deshaun Watson trade the greatest trade in Houston sports history? 713-780-3776. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Look, we're right around the corner from basketball season getting started. Got some big basketball news in the city a little bit earlier. But if you're looking for a goal, and you should be, you need to get a goal from Pro Dunk Hoops. They make the highest quality basketball goals you'll find. Best goals on the planet. Tempered glass backboard gives you that true feel that you see in the pro gyms, the college gyms. It's fantastic. Stainless steel hardware, and it's height adjustable too, anywhere from 5 feet to 10 feet. You get a breakaway rim, so you don't have to worry about it breaking on you. It's gonna be fine for dunking, hanging, keeping you safe. An extended overhang too, so you don't have to worry about rolling your ankle in that basketball stanchion. Their new goal, Thor, you can raise and lower the goals with a drill. Lightning adjust feature, they call it. You can go anywhere from 5 to 10 feet in a matter of seconds. Easy to do, fun to do. Their accessories are next level too. LED light kits for night play. It gets dark early here pretty soon after daylight savings. You're in school, or the kids are in school, you're at work, only time to play is at night. We'll get LED light kits, you can play whatever. Backstop nets, pull pad lettering, and lots more. You can order everything, including professional installation online. That's right. The pros from Pro Dunk will professionally install your goal at the perfect height, perfectly straight. You don't do anything. Let the pros at Pro Dunk do all of the work for you. Give them a call right now, 281-351-9822, and visit ProDunk.com. That's ProDunk.com.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
It's that time of year again. We want to thank our loyal listeners at our 2024 Listener Appreciation Party. Join the team from ESPN 97.5, 92.5 for an evening of food from Philly Flats, BB's Tex Orleans, JBRM Lanes, and Hollog Eyes. Drinks will be provided from Tejas Beer, Space City Vodka. There'll be a raffle where you can win a great prize from Republic Boot Company, but that's not it. The trophy the baseball team in the city won in 2022 will also be at the listener party, and you'll be able to get a picture with that fine trophy that you see everywhere. Caller number 4-713-780-3776 wins a pair of tickets to our ESPN listener party for behind-the-scenes look at where and how your favorite shows, Killer Bees, and videos are made. We're only giving away a certain amount of tickets. You will need one to come to the party. So if you don't win now, you can still head to ESPN975.com under the promotions tab to secure your tickets now. All right. Deshaun Watson, Lamont sent this tweet real quick before we have this conversation, which is the Deshaun Watson trade the greatest trade in Houston sports history, 713-780-3776. Lamont said he was listening to Cleveland sports radio on Monday, and the hosts were openly telling the audience, we're not taking calls about Deshaun's allegations. Is that normal?
That's soft, isn't it?
We
talked about it. We had to talk about it.
I wonder if that's the flagship.
Probably.
I wonder if that's the flagship.
Yeah, I would think if you're not affiliated with the Browns in some kind of way, that's priority one.
Because if the Texans had Deshaun Watson still, I have a hard time believing they'd be taking calls on the highway to hell.
Agreed.
It is. 92.3 The Fan is the flagship station for the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah.
There you go.
There you have it.
There it is.
I mean, I lived that life. There's no way that the team is going to literally allow, in a lot of cases, the host on their flagship to be talking negatively about anything with their team.
Yeah, so if there is so if we were up there and they were not a flagship, we would openly be talking about it. All right, so is that trade the greatest trade in Houston sports history? Big three, pro teams.
So I think the way you start this conversation is you also have to identify who are the candidates. I mean, I think that it's up there. I think that because of the haul you got, because of where this team is, because of how quick the turnaround happened after you thought you had your franchise quarterback and you got another one and you got to the playoffs and you won a playoff game, you did all these things. But you got to believe the Yordan trade and the Bagwell trade are way up there in this city in terms of trades that will live in infamy in terms of what the Astros got and what the other team got fleeced. I'm trying to think if we missed anything. The Barkley trade wasn't big enough. The Dwight Howard trade, probably not big enough. I don't think any of the other Rockets moves were big enough.
No. The biggest Rockets trade was probably the... that's probably up there.
Because it got the second championship.
Yeah, I would put the Clyde trade up there. I think the Harden trade's up there. Like even, if you don't like Harden, Harden's the second best Rocket ever.
He's in. I mean, it's in the conversation. I know a lot of people had the conversation that he was the greatest Rocket ever, and that's when they had to slow their roll. But he's definitely in the conversation for the amount of time that he did what he did here. Yeah.
So I would say the Harden trade and the Drexler trade would be my finalists from the Rockets.
Okay.
Texans. I mean, I don't think there's a greater trade in Texans history than Deshaun Watson.
No, no, no.
They've made some big trades. They traded up for Will Anderson. They didn't trade up for Deshaun. They already had pick 12. Right?
No.
They did trade up.
No, they traded. They traded.
That's right. They did trade up for
that. They traded up, yep.
But then you traded him because, you know, all the stuff. Well, he demanded a trade. So I guess you would put those two on the short list for the Texans. Either Watson trade, maybe even the Anderson trade would be under consideration. Certainly not equal to that, but under consideration. I think the Astros have a ton. The Astros have the Yordan trade, which got you, you know, a title. Yordan's won one title. The Bagwell trade, because you got a Hall of Famer. I mean, you got a Hall of Famer out of that deal. And then the Justin Verlander trade.
Yep.
I mean, the Verlander trade, you got two World Series titles out of that one. So it's hard for me to have Deshaun ahead of the trades the Astros have made. Like, I wouldn't be ahead of the Yordan trade because, I mean, Yordan's a stud and he got his World Series title. It wouldn't be ahead of the Verlander trade because got you your first ever World Series title. And then Bagwell got you a Hall of Famer.
Well, Drexler got you a title, too.
Yeah, he just wasn't the best player on that team.
No, but without him, I don't think you win the championship.
They literally won a championship the year before without him.
Right, but then they were really bad the next year and floundering before they made the trade.
It's hard for me to put Drexler in that conversation.
Okay, I'm putting him in the conversation.
With Verlander and Yordan?
Yeah. Because they got a championship, and I think it was directly associated with that move. Like the Verlander trade, I think they, as good as they were, that's the move that got them over the top. So I'm totally putting that in the conversation. I omitted that early on.
Yeah, I wouldn't have Drexler up there with Yordan, Verlander. Like if you give me a title, and I know Drexler did. If you give me a title and then a Hall of Fame career, like the Bagwell, like that's way up there. So like whenever we look at the Deshaun trade. We look at, like, I understand have you thanked the Brown lately? I don't think that they have that yet. Like, they don't have a title. They don't have, even an all-pro yet from the Deshaun trade. Like, the greatest part of the, I'm sure you got a lot of starters, but, like, almost the greatest part about the Deshaun trade is that you no longer have Deshaun.
It really is right now, but I think the other thing is, like, you and I are both on the same page of the fact that we're not going to analyze the trade overnight. You have to let it kind of ferment, and you have to let it all kind of come into place over time to see how did the trade work out. Now, if subsequently down the road the Texans win a title and the guys that they got in totality for Deshaun Watson helped lead them to a title or they played a role in it or a big role in it, then I think you can always evaluate the trade and say not only was it addition by subtraction, but if it led to a title and the nine guys or whatever it was that you got out of the deal or used to get players that got you to that point,
yeah,
now you can evaluate.
See, this trade, it kind of gets, you know, messed up a little bit because Nick Caserio is a Will and Dylan son of a gun, and he traded a lot of these picks. So, like, you kind of have to, you know, look at all of the branches of this. It's basically amounted to Kenyon Green, John Mechie, Christian Harris, Thomas Booker, Damian Pierce, Will Anderson, Kalen Bullock, Tank Dell, Kamari Lassiter, Jamal Hill, Kate Stover. So, like, yeah, that's a great trade. Yeah, you much rather have all of that stuff than Deshaun Watson for a variety of different reasons. Off the field, on the field, he's been pretty poor. You have C.J. Stroud now, so you have no issue with the fact that Deshaun Watson's no longer here. If he was here and he was playing like he's playing now, you'd be looking to get a new quarterback anyways. I think for this Deshaun Watson trade to be the greatest in Houston sports history, though, I think they're going to need to win a title, mm-hmm. and I think one of these guys has to turn into, like, an all-pro.
Is one of them going to turn into a Hall of Famer?
I don't think they have to turn into a Hall of Famer because you have your Super Bowl. Like, if you don't get your Super Bowl, though, it can't be the greatest trade in Houston sports history.
Agreed.
If you don't get a Super Bowl, it can't be better than the Yordan trade. It can't be better than the Verlander trade. I wouldn't say it's better than the Bagwell trade because Bagwell trade, you got a Hall of Famer. If you want to throw the Drexler trade in there, okay. Like, I'm willing to listen to that as well. But to pass all of those, I think you need at minimum a Super Bowl and an All-Pro.
Yeah, and I think the other misconception that everybody has out there is that the Deshaun trade got you CJ, and it didn't. It got you Anderson.
Yeah.
So I think that's something that's got to be cleared up as well because, and regardless, either way, and how definitive their careers are, the first step is I got to end up with a title out of all this. So I think that's the first step for this trade and for this team. And then from there, are you going to have a guy? Because Will Anderson's going to be a guy that's probably, you hope, is going to, is the trajectory says he's going to be one of the best pass rushers in the league for quite a while. So that's where you would probably start as the, if you said the centerpiece of all those guys.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think Kenyon Green, I don't think he's on that level.
No.
I don't think the other guys, you know, we don't know, but I don't think Bullock's going to be on that level. I don't think those, I think they're going to be good players, but I don't think they're going to be on that level. I think Will Anderson's the guy that carries the torch there.
713-780-ESPN. Is the Watson trade the greatest in Houston sports history? 713-780-3776. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.